Well, get out your forks and your ginsus. Some of you say, my what? I know what a fork is, but what is a ginsu? You don't remember those commercials years ago, those ginsu knives? Remember those? You know, they'd have that Oriental fella on there, and he'd be going, chum, 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 chopping up all that stuff. Trust me, you can't do it that fast at home. You end up missing things. Yeah, that was so cool. You know, he'd take that penny, and he'd take that knife, and he'd just cut right through that penny like no big deal. I was always so impressed, cut through pipes and everything else, and I thought, man, that'd be cool to have knives like that. Well, one year, Kathy's mom gave us Ginsu knives for Christmas. I thought, man, this is great. First thing I could think of was, I got to find me a penny. But when you open it up, it tells you that if you do anything like that with those knives, it voids the warranty. Oh, man. Well, way to lead somebody on, right? So anyway, get your forks and your steak knives out. And get ready to dig in on some fillet here. Put a marker in Ephesians chapter 4. A marker in Ephesians chapter 4. A marker in Romans chapter 12. And then open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A marker in Ephesians chapter 4, a marker in Romans chapter 12, and a marker then open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because that's where we will start there in 1 Corinthians. There are a lot of frustrated people in the body of Christ. Of course, I realize none of them are here. They're somewhere else. But a lot of frustrated people in the body of Christ, and what's interesting is that you know, when you're in ministry, and let me refine that, pulpit ministry, frustrated people sometimes seem to gravitate towards you. Like Bugs Delight. Because they see in the pulpit what they perceive to be the answer to problems and things like that. That in itself indicates what part of the problem is. Well, what we want to do is focus in on, we'll just call it one area of this frustration. And some of you in this message are going to get some answers. So let's not delay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's take a look at verse 1. Paul is writing and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, stop right there for a moment. To understand this particular verse, or the way it's being said, it's important to realize, and this is not what we're going to study, but gifts were operating there at the church at Corinth. And you can read about this in Paul's letters to that church. And so for him to come along and say, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant." Now you're the recipient of this letter, and you read this or you hear it read, and you're thinking, "Well, excuse me, Paul, but have you been here lately? What do you mean you don't want us to be ignorant? We're not ignorant. All these great things are happening in our church." Well, obviously there must have been a level of ignorance somewhere, even in the midst of these gifts, or he wouldn't have written that. So Paul It's not that he's saying things aren't happening. He's saying, look, you guys are still ignorant of a bunch of stuff, and I don't want you to stay that way. Well, anyway, let's continue on. He says, you know, that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts, but it comes from the same Holy Ghost. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. God is the one who works all the gifts in with all of the administrations. He's the one that takes all the ingredients, puts it in the bowl, mixes it up, and bakes the cake the way He wants it. Well, then he says, and it's kind of like verses 4, 5, and 6. He's saying, look, there's this, and there's this. But what I want to focus on at this particular moment are the manifestations of the Spirit. Because, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, where he says to profit withal, it's for the benefit withal. And in essence, we could simplify that by saying those in the body of Christ and those outside the body of Christ. And so the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another divers kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Now, this passage right here, if people, and the Christians, would really get a hold of what Paul is writing. And remember, he wrote by the direction of God, inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If people in the body of Christ would grasp the fullness of just this, a lot of their frustration would be alleviated. Now, look here again. In verses 8, 9, and 10, he is describing what we call the gifts of the Spirit. Now, bookending this description, he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So in both verse 7 and in verse 11, we see every man, everybody, every person, everyone in the body of Christ. That doesn't leave anyone out. That means every person who is born again and a part of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit has the intention, the desire, and the want to use us in these gifts. But not only that, if you'll notice closely in verse 11, he says, dividing to every man, and the next word is severally. Dividing or appropriating or administering or using these gifts in every single individual, plurally, as He wills. So here we have, from the Holy Spirit's vantage point, somebody's in the body of Christ. Somebody gets born again. Now, He desires to take these gifts that He manages or oversees, He desires to take these gifts and to begin to operate these gifts through each individual of the body of Christ severally. In other words, more than just one. Now, those who receive or experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, immediately He has had the opportunity to operate one of those gifts through that particular individual. But He doesn't want to stop there. severally is plural. So therefore, each and every one of us here in this room today, all listening to this by tape, every single member of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is right there, and it is His desire to use every single one of us in a multiplicity of gifts. Even if it's, let's just say it's just two. That means if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, there's one. But He wants to take you beyond that. Or He wants to, and saying beyond that really would imply that baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is a lower class gift, and that's, I don't mean to imply that. But He wants to add to that, maybe is a better way to put it. He wants to add to that. He wants to operate through you in other gifts as well. And so here we are. We see this in the Word, and now we can begin to understand then that it is the Holy Spirit's desire to operate through all of us in the body of Christ, His gifts. This is His desire. This is what He wants to do. So it's not so much a matter of us, you know, crying out and saying, "Oh, Holy Ghost, I want you to use me. I want you to use me." And He's on the other side saying, "So do I." It's not a matter of well, you know, you better do something good to get me in the mood to want to use you. I've already declared in the Word that stands forever, I desire to use you. So you don't have to come to me and try and convince me that it would be to my benefit to use you. You know, don't come and try and sell me on this thing, because I've already declared it to be an eternal truth. It is my desire, my will, to operate my gifts through you severally. But it's as I will. It's as I determine. So it's my will to do it, but I'm also the one who wills when and how it will happen. And to your benefit, the moment that you gave me the opportunity to fill you, the moment that you submitted to the thing that I wanted to do, you submitted to what you refer to as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the moment that you allowed that to take place, the moment that you allowed me to do that in your life was the moment that I had the opportunity to give to you the gift of tongues or the ability to pray in the Spirit. And so, yes, I've already had that wonderful opportunity to minister to you in your life in one of those gifts, but I want you to know I don't want to just stop there. Well, a lot of folks in the body of Christ think He does. A lot of people in the body of Christ, they don't think that He wants to use them beyond that glorious moment that they tarried at the altar and everybody gathered around and they said, you know, hold on, turn loose, let go, look up, bow down, all this, until finally something happened. Some people tarried for years and months and weeks. Some people tarried a long time. Some folks stood at the altar and waited. Some folks... It's not that complicated. It just is not that complicated. We've made it complicated. But nevertheless, when the moment finally came and we had our own personal day of Pentecost, do you know how excited that made the Holy Spirit? That He finally was able to do this through you? It was His will to do it all along. But now you got in line with Him and He was able to do it. And so He's given you this ability to pray in the Spirit, or pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. He's given that gift to you. But He wants to go beyond that. And again, verse 7, to every man, or everyone, every person. And verse 11, dividing to everyone, every man, every person, severally. So we've established then that the Holy Spirit wants to use us in His gifts. This is His desire. If it's His desire, it's Jesus' desire. If it's Jesus' desire, it's the Father's desire. In other words, the Creator of the universe has established in this short passage that it is His will to funnel His gifts through you. Now, take a little side journey. The only one who can stop Him is you. If it's His will to do it, but you don't let Him, then whose fault is that? Well, let's look over in 27, verse 27. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ and you are the members of the body of Christ. You are the particular members of the body of Christ. You are particular in the body of Christ. As a member of the body of Christ, you are particular in that body. You are unique and special as a particular member of the body of Christ. Just like you could look at your own, and you can go back and read in between verses 12 up to verse 27, and you can see the example that Paul gives of the human body. You could stand there and look at your own hands and fingers and toes, and you could, you know, I mean, you could lay there in the bed and hold your feet up and hold your hands up and address your body and say, "Ye are the members of my body, and you are particular indeed. You are the thumb, the left thumb in particular, and you are the right thumb in particular. And you are the little toe, the right little toe in particular. And you are the left earlobe in particular. You are the members of my body. And you play a function." Well, this is what he's saying. You are the body of Christ. And you are the particular members in that body. And, verse 28, now he's going to begin to explain to you in very specific terms what those members are. God has set some in the church. God has established the particular members in the church as first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And in verse 29 and 30, he's basically establishing the fact that not everybody does every single thing in their life. Not everybody's called to be the same thing. Now, in this, he's saying you are the body and you are particular members, parts of that body, the body of Christ. Now, let me tell you in verse 28 what those parts are, what those members are. Let me identify for you the members, the parts of the body of Christ. And he goes through and he begins to give this list. Therefore, when we look at this list, we're actually looking at ourselves. Because if we are the members, if we are the parts of the body of Christ, and then he goes on in the very next verse and describes or explains or identifies or names those parts and those members, then all I have to do is go to that passage and I can begin to get an understanding of where I might fit in. Of what I might be called to do. Of me, the part, but what is the title of my part? This is a stepping stone toward understanding that. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll take this verse 28 even a little bit further. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 7. Well, we'll start in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now let's back up to verse 7 and walk through this a little bit, keeping in mind what we've already read in 1 Corinthians, and more specifically verses 27 and 28. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, we've established that we are the members, the parts of the body of Christ, and that God has established us in these different roles, or these roles have been established by God for the body of Christ. In verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, well, what is this gift of Christ? Well, he tells you in verses 11 and 12, the gift of Christ. It says in verse 8 that he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Or a better way to put this would be he put gifts or established gifts or gave gifts to the body of Christ. Now, in verse 11, we see a list that's almost identical to what we saw over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 11, "And he gave some." Or, verse 8 says he gave gifts unto men, and he gave some gifts, or some of these gifts that he gave are apostles. Some of these gifts that he gave are prophets. Some of these gifts he gave are evangelists. Now, we're not going to go back and reteach things that we've already taught along this line, but the evangelist corresponds to 1 Corinthians 12:28, miracles. It's talking about the same ministry, the same operation there. And he gave some pastors. The pastors corresponds to the gifts, plural, of healings, plural, which is different than the gifts of healing, listed as a gift of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, gifts, plural, of healings, plural, corresponds with the pastor. Remember, we've gone through this before, and those tapes are available. But he gave some gifts. Some of the gifts he gave were pastors, and some of the gifts he gave were teachers. Now, why did he do that? Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints," or for the maturing of the saints. Or another way to put that is, through the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, through their pulpit ministry, as they are ministering, delivering, teaching, preaching the Word of God, that Word that goes forth is to have a maturing or a perfecting work on the saints, or on the hearers, or on the people in the body of Christ. And then he says, "For the work of the ministry." Now, a better way to put this would be, "And he gave some gifts for the work of the ministry." The gifts that he gave for the work of the ministry, as we've already learned in the past, the gifts that are listed over there in 1 Corinthians 12:28, that's helps and governments. That corresponds to the helps and the governments. Then in verse 11, or verse 12, he concludes verse 12 by saying, "For the edifying of the body of Christ." Or another way to put this would be, "And he gave gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ." Well, what are the gifts that he gave for the edifying of the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. The last thing listed there, diversities of tongues. Just like it's the last thing listed here, it's the last thing listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. The diversities of tongues, that is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Because we know over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul plainly stated, as he's teaching there, how that tongues and interpretation, that is for edification, exhortation, and comfort in the local assembly. But then over in Jude, we realize that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And Paul also talked about in 1 Corinthians 14, how that when we speak in this unknown tongue, when we pray in tongues, we are edifying ourselves. So the personal prayer language of tongues is for personal edification. But the gift of tongues for interpretation is for edification, exhortation, and comfort in the body of Christ. And so right here in this passage, what he's saying is that Jesus has given gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the gifts that he gave for the edifying of the body of Christ are tongues for interpretation and tongues for personal edification or praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus has given these gifts. Now, let's take a look back over here in verse 7 once again and see something. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." According to the measure of the gift of Christ. According to the measure of the gift. The measure of the gift. The gift originated with Christ, and now he's saying according to the measure of that gift that came to us from Christ. According to the measure. Now let's clarify that a little bit. God has set some in the church, first apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. We see in Ephesians how that gifts have been given by Jesus. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher goes on. Now, he says that grace has been given unto us according to the measure of the gift. All right, now let's think of it like this. Here's Jesus. He's been given the responsibility, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the beginning part of that, he said there are different administrations, but it's the same Lord. The administrations he's talking about are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and so forth. Those are the administrations, and it is the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is the administer or the manager of those gifts. So now here's Jesus. He knows what his responsibility is, but he also works in conjunction with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And so because they know what the plan of God is for your life from before the foundation of the world, Jesus has been given the responsibility of administering to you or giving to you the gift that has been preordained for you. So let's think of it like this. God has ordained or predetermined or pre-established that you are to be an evangelist. Now, Jesus is the one who has the responsibility of administering this gift to you. And it says that we've been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ is that ministry that He has given unto me. The measure of that gift is, I guess I could put it like this, the operation or my operating in that area of evangelist or pastor or whatever I'm called to do. Now let's see if we can illustrate this a little bit. Jesus knows that you're called to be a pastor or you're called to be an evangelist. And so this gift is given unto you. This gift has been established to you. However, you are not going to evangelize in the same way that Joyce Meyer evangelizes. You're not going to evangelize in the same way that Elaine Homer evangelizes. You're not going to evangelize in the same way that a Kenneth Copeland evangelizes or a Kenneth Hagin, or the list goes on and on. In other words, your evangelism ministry is going to be different from their evangelism ministry. Or to put it another way, the measure of your calling as an evangelist is different than the measure of the calling of evangelist on R.W. Shambach. Are you with me? You see this. And he says that he has given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, according to the measure of what you are called to do. If you're called to be a pastor, then the measure of your pastorate is going to be different than the measure of the pastorate of somebody else. You will be fulfilling that gift, that calling, that ministry of pastor differently than what someone else will do. Now, further here in Ephesians, I want you to look down in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now what he's talking about, very briefly here, what he's talking about. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now this describes essentially a maturing, a growing up process. Unto a perfect man, or unto a fully mature man, or unto a man or an individual, a person that is grown up, established spiritually, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, the gifts that have been given are given from Jesus. Now, if Jesus gave these gifts, He couldn't have given them until or unless He had them Himself first. You can't give a gift to somebody unless you have it, can you? And so here, like at Christmas time, you give somebody a gift, well, that gift is yours. You went, you bought it. Now, you can keep it if you want to, or you can give it to somebody else. Now, when you give that gift to them, what you're giving to them is something that had already belonged to you in the first place, but now you've turned around and given to them that which at one time was yours. In that respect, Jesus is the apostle of apostles. He is the prophet of prophets, the teacher of teachers, the pastor of pastors. He is the evangelist of evangelists. Are you with me? And so what Jesus does is He takes this gift, that this whole system now, remember, it's been preordained and pre-established to exist before the foundation of the world. God already had this laid out, and Jesus is the one who's responsible for administering this. And so now here's Jesus, and He has all of these gifts, and it's His responsibility to administer them in the lives of the people to whom these gifts have, or for whom these gifts have been established. And so now Jesus, He takes out of Himself, if you will, this ministry of pastor, and the measure of that ministry of pastor is given to this person over here because that is what they're supposed to do. But this one over here, now, she's supposed to be an evangelist. And so He takes the measure of that evangelist gift and He gives it unto her because that's what she is called to do. But now look again in verse 13. The fullness of Christ, or the fullness of all of these measures, or another way to put that is, the fullness of your calling and your ministry, the fullness, the full capacity of your pastorate, the full capacity of your being an evangelist, the full capacity of your being an apostle, the fullness of that measure rests in Christ. In other words, He is the ultimate evangelist. And so whatever to whatever degree you have been called to be an evangelist, the fullness of the call of evangelist rests in Jesus Christ. And what He's saying here in verse 13 simply is that we are to grow and we are to mature in essence in our part or in our measure according to the standard of the fullness that already exists in Jesus Christ. So if I'm called to be a pastor, it is my responsibility then to do everything I can in my relationship with Jesus Christ to reach the fullness of the capacity of my pastorate, my measure, my part, my calling, knowing that in Him resides the ultimate capacity of pastoring. You see what I'm saying? But now, look at it a little bit further here. Look down in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now look at this again. We already know that we are the body of Christ. We already know that we're the members of the body of Christ. We already know that we're the parts of the body of Christ. Then He talks about that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. I'm the part. The measure is the gift. Remember verse 7. The measure is that gift that He has called me, the measure of the gift of Christ. So I'm the part, and in me is the measure of the gift of apostle, or pastor, or teacher, or whatever it would be. In me is that measure. That measure has already given unto me. And He says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, or according to the effectiveness of me operating in the framework of the measure that has already been established for me. God has called me to be the evangelist, and so Jesus administers that gift into my life. Now, I am a member or a part of the body of Christ. The measure of the gift of Christ, the measure of the evangelist, has been passed unto me. That has been established in my life. This is something that God has placed there on the inside of me. It's mine. And now it's my responsibility to see to it that ministry or that measure or that calling, that gifting is operating effectively or effectually or energized by the power of the Holy Spirit to its full capacity so that I in turn operating in that measure am able to give to you, body of Christ, and when necessary outside the body of Christ, whatever is needed from within the measure that's been given unto me. So therefore, it would be foolish for me, called to be a pastor, to go out and try to be prophet. Because I don't have a measure for that. I may prophesy, but I'm not a prophet. See what I'm saying? So therefore, I've got the responsibility to do what's necessary in my relationship with the Lord to be, I guess we'll put it like this, effectually used in my ministry, in my measure. Because I'm the part supposed to be working in that measure. Look back in verse 7 though. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, we already understand this part about the measure, the gift of Christ, is referring to the ministry areas that we're called to. But he says in verse 7, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, first off, in verse 7, he says, but unto every one of us. But unto every one of us. Nobody's left out. We're all in the body of Christ. So unto every member of the body of Christ, unto every part of the body of Christ, unto every single individual who is born again, is given grace. Why is that grace given? That grace is given in relationship to the gift of Christ that has been given to you. The gift of pastor. But it's given according to the measure of that gift. It is given in proportion. It is given in relation to. It is given in conjunction with the measure of the gift. Now, first off, he says to every one of us. That means that every single person in the body of Christ, why would that grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, why would grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ be given to every one of us unless we had been given one of those gifts which demanded that grace? Why give me grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ if I've not been given a gift of Christ? If I've not been given a measure of a gift, why give that grace to me? I don't need it because I'm not called. I don't have anything to do in the body of Christ. You know, I'm just do-nothing Christian. I'm just pew-sitting Christian. You know, I just show up, pay my tithes, so God won't curse me. And live in the framework of my own religion, believing whatever I want to believe, and then tell everybody there's nothing for me to do. But God has said in His Word right here, to every one of us, grace has been given in proportion or according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift has been given, a gift has been given to every single one of us. Because to every single one of us, the grace has been given according to the measure of that gift. So the gift is there. Now He's telling you, now keep in mind, He describes the gifts in verses 11 and 12. Just like over in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. That means every single one of us fits into one of these categories. And in some cases, more than one of those categories. Every single one of us. There's no exceptions. That means these people that sit in churches, born again, you know, it's testimony time. And they stand up. I just want you all to know I love Jesus, I love the Lord, I love the Holy Ghost, and I love every one of you, and I just want you all to pray for me that I make it through. Thank you, Lord, oh Jesus. And then sit down. Thank you for that glowing report. Something that hopefully we already know. And people come across like they have nothing to do in the body of Christ when, again, back in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, we have established every single human being alive on planet Earth who is born again is a part of the body of Christ, and one, at least one of these categories, is the name tag you should be wearing. Now, in verse 7, he says, but unto every one of us, and this is so important, is given grace according to the measure. Now, that verse 7 alone tells us that in order for us to accomplish and fulfill the calling or the measure of this gift, in order for us to reach capacity, we absolutely must have grace. We must. Now, here's the problem we run into when we start talking about grace. The body of Christ, generally speaking, has taken grace and turned it into an emotion. We call it forgiveness, unmerited mercy, favor, and so forth. And we equate it with an emotional feeling of our own. But think about this. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, if the measure of the gift of Christ in my life is to be a pastor, and I am to fulfill that measure in this particular way, while the other pastors fulfill their measure in their particular ways, and he says that grace has been given to me in proportion or in accordance to or in relationship, in direct relationship to the measure of that gift, then that means in essence what he's done. He says, now listen here, Jim. I've called you to be a pastor. Now, the measure of your pastorate is this. And so therefore, you're going to need... Now, folks, I'm really simplifying this, okay? And it doesn't really work like this, but maybe this will help clarify it. You're going to need 4 scoops of grace to reach the capacity of your measure. But you know, this guy over here, I've called him to be a pastor. He's going to need 6 scoops of grace to reach the fullness of his measure, of his capacity, of that gift. Now I've got this prophet over here, and this prophet's, oh Lord, he's going to need 12 scoops. Do you catch this image? Now, we've taken grace and we have equated it with an emotion. Forgiveness. Mercy. All right? Let's translate grace with those words. Unto every one of us is given mercy and forgiveness according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Or, using our scoops, you're called to be a pastor, you only need 4 scoops of forgiveness to fulfill your calling. This apostle needs 80 scoops of forgiveness. In other words, if we use forgiveness and call, if we equate grace strictly with forgiveness, we are establishing the fact that there are levels of forgiveness with God. Do you see this? Grace contains mercy, contains forgiveness, contains compassion, and it contains favor. Grace is not exclusively forgiveness. When we teach on grace, you're going to see this in the Word of God. Grace literally is an energy force. I mean, it sounds Star Wars-ish, but grace is an energy force that is released from God. Unto every one of us is given whatever energy force we need to fulfill according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay? Are you seeing this? Turn to Romans chapter 12 and we'll see this even in more clarity. Paul wrote all of this. Paul had the understanding of all of this. Now he is speaking out of this understanding and out of what I just illustrated for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Oh my goodness, now we've got faith in this thing. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I mean, we're kind of hearing a little bit of 1 Corinthians, aren't we? So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, and then he goes on to explain some other things. So now we also see that faith is included in this as well. Now what have we established to this point? Let's go back and do just a real quick, simple review. Number one, we have established from God's Word that the Holy Spirit desires to operate through us more than just one of His gifts. Every man severally. So every member of the body of Christ, every single one of us, and at least two. At least two, if not more. That is His desire. So again, it would be foolish for us to go to Him and try to impress Him with our works or our accomplishments and saying, now, Holy Spirit, I'm qualified for You to use me. Now, Holy Spirit, you know, I want to put You in a good mood so that when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to want to use me in the gifts. Holy Spirit says, you're too late, pal. I've already decided that I want to use you in my gifts. It's not a matter of convincing me that I want to. It's a matter of me convincing you that I want to. I want to use you in more than one. And I want to thank you that you've at least let me given you the ability to pray in tongues. The ability to let me pray through you in that language. But I want you to understand, I want to use you in more ways than just that. So we've established that. We've also established that a ministry for us, based on what we've seen there in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, in Ephesians chapter 4, we've already established that a ministry has been assigned for every one of us. God has already determined for you a measure or a gift, the measure of the gift. He's already determined for you what you should be. Therefore, it would be foolish for us to go to God and pray and say, oh God, I just wish You would give me a ministry. And God's saying, go back to 1 Corinthians, go back to Ephesians and read it again. It's already there. The ministry has already been established. The gifts have been given. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I've already established this for you. So it would be wrong for us to go back and pray and beg and ask God to do something or to give something to us that He has already established is to be a part of our lives. Well, the third thing that we've established is that the amount of faith and grace necessary to fulfill that ministry has already been released to us. Yes. To every man is given, past tense, the faith. To every man, individual, is given, past tense, the grace. So here we are, born again. The moment that we become born again is the moment that God can release these things to us. It's just, think of it like this. Mama gets pregnant, mama gives birth. Now there's baby. Now, how much of what you have at home is available to that baby? Maybe everything? In proportion to the growth of the baby, right? When Junior gets old enough to know how to use the power saw, Daddy's going to teach him how. But he's not going to take him out there at 3 years old and fire it up. Say, watch this. He's not here to do that, son. Well, he can't even pick the thing up. Mommy, yes, sweetheart. You know, I'm getting kind of dirty. Is it okay if I use the bathtub? Take a bath? That's stupid. Sweetheart, I gave birth to you. Believe me, I want you to go use that bathtub. So in other words, once we're born into that family, it's all ours anyway. We don't have to go and ask permission. Am I allowed to eat today? Yes, go find yourself. It's in the refrigerator. It's in the cabinet. Go eat. It's okay. Likewise, the moment we are born again into the family, the gift of Christ It's already ours. The faith and the grace to fulfill that gift of Christ, it's already determined to be ours. It's not something that I go to Him and say, God, you didn't give me enough faith to fulfill this calling. God says, excuse me. You want to run that one by me one more time? Why don't you go back and read Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians? God, you didn't give me enough grace. Who told you I didn't? And see, a lot of folks that come up for prayer, for things like that, for, you know, my ministry. I want you to pray for me about my ministry. Pray that God will give me more faith. Pray that God will give me more grace to fulfill my ministry. He has. How do you want me to pray? Pray that He'll give it to me. Let me get this right. You want me to walk in hand with you and go before the throne of grace and tell God He didn't do something He already said He did in His Word. Excuse me, you are on your own. You got that much boldness, go ahead. You see what I'm saying? It's all there. Now, that brings up an interesting question then. Pastor Jim, if the Holy Spirit already wants to use me in all of these gifts, at least two of them, and it's His desire to do this, and if indeed I have already been assigned or given the gift of Christ, this ministry, and the measure of that ministry, if it's already been given to me, and if it's already been released unto me, all of the faith and all of the grace that I will need to fulfill that ministry, then where is my ministry? Where is it? I don't see anything happening in my life. Where's my ministry? Well, it's there. Well, yeah, I kind of know that now. But where is it? Where is its manifestation? Where is its operation? Why do I feel like God has my blessed assurance glued to this pew and nothing is going on? Would you please tell me why? Well, you know, there could be a number of reasons why. Number of them. But there are two specific reasons that I will identify. And these two specific reasons hold true from my experience in the majority of people in the body of Christ. And if you come back tonight, I will tell you what they are. Ooh. Is that a baited hook or I put a big worm on that. But in the meantime, you can stand.